Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's a new year. Do you believe it, Austin Bechtel? 2025 is here.
Hard to believe, Bob.
It's hard to believe. As you get older, it's harder to believe because things go faster. You may or may not believe that, but believe me, it does. And when it does, that means you got to enjoy every day. And as I tweeted out last night, my wish to all of you is health. It's the best thing you can hope for because if you are healthy, then you are a rich person. Everything else that follows is fine, except you got to start there. And on top of that, I want to give a special shout-out to Stacey Hurt. Stacey is a wonderful young woman who has gone through her share of cancer battles. Was once diagnosed with a stage 4, but she is now totally cancer-free. Never lost her faith, never lost her attitude. Faith and attitude are very big. And I wanted to start there because I think that's a good way to start. On a positive story for someone who fought hard and won the race so far, and we continue to pray for Stacey Hurt. But anyway, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We're here until 2 o'clock. Austin and I, Joe is golfing. Where is Joe?
I think he's just enjoying his holiday.
He is golfing, though. He's at some simulator somewhere. I know him, and he's probably trying to work on his game because every time he's in here, you see him. You see a mirror, you see Joe trying to figure out what that backswing looks like. But that's good. That's what makes him a very improved golfer in just the short time he's been playing. 2025, Austin, this year is the U.S. Open. Also, it's coming up. I'd love to go.
I know Joe and I want to go and see if maybe the Bob connections can help us out in this regard.
Well, I'm assuming the fan will be there in one way or another, right, as a media.
Hopefully.
Yeah, you got to do that. 240,000 people expected there, and it's going to be something special with the changes that Oakmont Country Club has made. I know Pat Bostic, an avid golfer himself, and a very good one, by the way. I have to get on the course with him and try to figure out how close I am to him. I don't think I'm very close, but we're going to find out one day. But he had John Lynch on, and John is the president of Oakmont, really an outstanding person and a good guy to take control of the situation here from an Oakmont point of view when the USGA comes in. It's going to be spectacular. But we begin here today, and first I should remind you that the Fan Twitter site is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. The text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And that number, by the way, is the same as a call-in number, which is 412-928-9370. We will talk a lot of Steelers throughout the course of the day, but there's a lot of other stuff going on. And last night, news-wise, it was Penn State. Starting fast and then kind of hit a little road bump, allowed Boise State to get back in. And quite frankly, Boise State missed so many opportunities. Their kicker, I don't know what that first kick was like. It was awful. It was a duck hook like I've never seen. And then the second one, when you have trips and long drives, they had a 12 and 13 play drive in the second half and they produced 0 points. Against a team like Penn State, you got to cash in when you can. They did not, Austin. And do you mind if I call you Austin throughout the course of this show?
That works for me.
Do you prefer city limits? Because I know Joe comes up with all sorts.
Bob, whatever you prefer is good with me.
No, it's what you prefer.
Austin works.
Okay. they had their chances is what I'm trying to say, Austin. Right?
No doubt about it.
They had their chances, and they could not. Penn State did a great job on Ashton Jeanty. He was not a factor, even though he, I think, went over 100 yards, if he did, just barely. But it was a group effort to focus on him and put the pressure on their quarterback, who I thought missed a lot of targets that he could have made. But Penn State did what they had to do, and it confirms what I think we all thought. They had an easier trek to the Final Four of college football playoff, and they're the first to arrive.
So Jeanty rushed for over 125 yards in every single game this year, including against Oregon. And, I mean, they kept him in check. And that was going to be a critical part of this game. Stop the run and let Boise beat you with the pass. And Genty fumbled twice. He had previously fumbled twice in the entirety of the season. You missed two field goals. You don't score on a long drive. Boise really shot themselves in the foot. But Penn State, with the way that they came out and asserted themselves on those first two drives scoring touchdowns, really put the pressure on Boise. And I think really made them kind of squirmish for a long, large portion of the game. But yeah, these were the two games that going into it, everybody said, James Franklin should win these games. And if he doesn't, it's a significant disappointment because they're favored by 11 against Boise. They're favored by 9 against SMU. This is when the rubber meets the road now against Notre Dame or Georgia. This is where James Franklin will truly be defined.
Yes, I will say one thing about anyone who watched that game. If you're Georgia or Notre Dame, you should come away thinking our best bet is to blitz the hell out of Penn State.
Yes.
Because Boise State had success again. I don't know how many times they sacked him last night. They were in the backfield quite a bit. Now it's a risk-reward situation. Drew Aller made some nice throws, and of course, whenever you have a guy like Tyler Warren on the other side of it, taking advantage of all of his 6 feet, 6 inches, it's tough to defend it no matter how good you are defensively. However, when you blitz, you cause havoc. You cause down and distance to change. I think a team like Georgia or Notre Dame will be better suited to do it, knowing that they have better back-end help. I thought Boise State was a team that could be had down the field. Maybe one of the reasons why they decided to blitz as much as they did, just to try to confuse him, make him make errant throws. He made three pretty good throws on the touchdowns. But I would definitely, if I were one of those two teams, whoever advances, do that against them.
And Drew Aller had a pretty good day. It would help if his receivers could, I don't know, catch the ball, make a couple good contested catches. Other than Tyler Warren, who did so in the end zone and a couple other different plays, the receivers kind of let them down, and they still found a way to win by, what, double digits? So their right guard had three different penalties, a face mask, a couple holdings. They blocked very well in the run game. Singleton and Allen both had pretty good days. But yeah, if you blitz and you have to force Aller outside the pocket, he can make plays, but that's the way to beat him. Bring an extra guy off the edge.
No question about it. And so now you'll watch today as Notre Dame and Georgia play. That's the late game of the day. The one that's most intriguing is Ohio State, and Ryan Day finds himself in the same position as James Franklin as far as the, you know, the court of public opinion. People out there want and demand a lot. If you don't beat Michigan, then you better run the table here and get to a national championship and win it. And I think those are the expectations now. And I think they will beat Oregon.
I do too.
I think they're a better team than Oregon. I think Oregon has maybe better skilled players. But overall, Ohio State, and they played earlier this year, I think they're going to come away with a win. And the other one, I see it as Texas. They're just too powerful. Arizona State's a good team that played well. A lot of transfers. And that's fine. They utilize that system. That's what Pitt needs to do. They need to look at how they orchestrated their team and go out and be aggressive in that, but it takes money to do that. So I think Texas will advance. I think Ohio State will advance. And on the one tonight that's interesting, I believe you're going to probably see Georgia, although I think Notre Dame is perfectly capable of winning that game if things go right for them.
So if you were Penn State, who would you rather play? Notre Dame or a Georgia team without Carson Beck?
That's the thing. I'm not sure. I haven't watched enough of their backup quarterback in action to know what he can do.
He came back to beat Texas in the SEC championship.
I understand that, but I haven't seen enough to think that he's, you know, capable of doing that for an entire game when he is the guy in charge. Carson Beck, up and down, but I mean, when he's on, he's not going to be there. So I don't know. I think I probably would rather play Notre Dame still. I think they have a better chance lining up against Notre Dame.
Yeah, Dom and I were talking about that after the morning show. I think I'd still take Notre Dame just because I think it's Georgia, and that should carry enough weight in its own. And I wonder just about the battle in the trenches. And because that's where Penn State gets beat typically. It's where they got beat against Oregon, and it's where they got beat against Ohio State. So going up against Georgia is not going to be an easy task. It won't be easy against Notre Dame either. But I feel like it's a more even matchup against Notre Dame. I think Texas handles Arizona State, not easily, but pretty much like what we saw last night. And Ohio State beats Oregon. I think they get their revenge, and Will Howard does not slide with a second left.
Now, based on the first five games that we've seen here, they haven't been necessarily close games. Does that change your opinion of the college football playoff, or do you still think this is the right amount of teams? I think the seeding needs to be rethought. But overall, your thoughts?
Not at all. My thoughts on it doesn't change at all. I originally wanted 8 teams. Now, when you go to 12, you wonder, is it going to be too oversaturated? The results of the games have definitely made me think that way. But I also think at the same time, this is the first year for it. This is the test run. This is the trial run. They're not going to eliminate teams now that have gone to 12. They're not going to go backwards. Like, do you think the NFL is ever going to go back to 6 playoff teams or Major League Baseball to 4 playoff teams?
Or the NHL. Everybody goes forward. They want more money, more matchups, more postseason activity. Yeah.
So they're not going to go back. I think with 12, you just reseed it so that conference champs like Arizona State and Boise, who are, what, double-digit underdogs, are not teams that are playing with a first-round bye in that second game. They would have to play, maybe they even host in the first round. But no, I like the system the way it is. I changed the seeding, but I'm fine with the 12 teams. I think this has been entertaining. I know the games haven't been necessarily close. Maybe it's just that it's the first year of this, and it's a whole new thing, and there's this whole big flair around it. But I don't expect next year's game to be this big of blowouts in all of them.
No, I don't either. I think there's some pretty good teams in there. I know Alabama, a lot of people down there were chirping they should have been in. Well, they go into their bowl game yesterday in Michigan, unranked at the time, beats them 19-13. 412-928-9370. If you have a comment about the college football playoff, let us know. Also, last night, the Penguins. I was going back and forth, and I recorded things. I'm sitting out like a crazy man on New Year's Eve. And that's the other thing about getting older, Austin. I used to go out. My wife and I would always go out. We'd stay out till 3 in the morning. We'd find after-hour places, dance places, whatever. And I'm still capable of that if I want to. But on a night with so much sports involved, and we had just come off a nice 3-day trip with our grandkids, and they can wear you out, you know. You need your energy consumption. So we stayed at home and watched. And I thought the Penguins played a pretty good game, but didn't get the result they needed as they lost 4-2 to Detroit. Again, this is a team that has to win these kinds of games. They've dug a deep enough hole for themselves that when you take on teams like Detroit, middle of the pack, talented but middle of the pack, you got to win. I thought Erik Karlsson took a costly penalty late. It led to a power play goal and then an empty net goal. But the Penguins have a tough road coming up. They're going to make that trip to Florida, and you got some pretty good teams. Tampa's one of the teams they're trailing right now. Tampa has, I think, 4 or 3 games in hand on them, and they're ahead of them in the points race. So you can't afford to just not get any points. It was 2-2 game late. They get a power play. They score. Game's over. No points.
They're going to have a string of 5 in a row at home, though. That could significantly help them. With the Oilers, Blue Jackets, they'll play Ottawa, Tampa Bay, and Seattle.
Okay. Let's go through that list. Oilers, not an easy game.
No, obviously not. Columbus, though.
Columbus is pesky, and they play the Penguins tough.
They do. I think you could take them. Ottawa, they've had a pretty decent season.
Yeah, and the Penguins will beat them here. They could have done that there. And then after that, it's Tampa.
They sometimes find ways against Tampa at home to be able to beat them. But if again, it was on the road, maybe
to me,
not the same.
I would look at that as you got to win that game only because of the point differential and the games in hand that Tampa has. When you have head-to-head, you got to win them.
And then you need to take 2 points against Seattle.
Absolutely. But that won't be easy either, and it comes down to goaltending. The question, I think, moving forward at 412-928-9370 is there goaltending enough? Do they have enough right now? It's interesting yesterday that Nedeljkovic started a second straight game. I really thought that Jari was going to be that guy, and then Jari's not been his own best friend. He's played erratically still, and they need consistency out of him, of all their goaltenders. You can play a responsible brand of hockey, but if you give up a couple of bad goals here and there, it changes the outcome of the game. So this is going to be a critical stretch for the Penguins coming up, and they're going to need points here. And quite frankly, they played a better brand of hockey. Is it good enough to get them back in the playoffs? I don't know about you, but I want to see them in a play. I want to see a series. We haven't seen one in a couple of years. I want to see what this group can do in a series. And I don't really care who the opposition is. Just show what you have 7 games. Figure it out. Win a series. Sort of like what the Steelers are in.
I don't think they're capable of winning a series, though. I think the Steelers could win a playoff game. I do. I still think they could, especially if they go to a Houston team that's reeling. But the Penguins, I still wonder about the goaltending, Bob. That's been my main problem with them for years because I don't trust Tristan Jarry down the stretch to either A, be healthy, or B, be effective once you reach the playoffs, because we've never seen it with him. So that's my main concern with him. 5 goals against the Islanders, 4 against Nashville. I know they won it. And then wasn't good enough to win it against New Jersey before Christmas. I just want to see some consistent play for Jarry. Remember we were talking about how many shutouts he had last year, and we were still saying he wasn't playing well? Now he can't buy a shutout.
No, he can't. And I wonder what Kyle Dubas is going to do in this whole thing when it gets down to the trade deadline. And depending on where they are, because they have this road they're on right now, which is half of it is present, win now, because you have guys who are capable of. And then the next one is, well, we're trying to build for the future a little bit here. So the problem they have is trying to determine which way to go and who do you trade if you want to acquire something. Because they seem to be, at least Kyle Dubas seems to be, a general manager who's very well aware that he needs more in his system. He's acquired draft picks. I still think he wants to do that to the point where he brought in Kevin Hayes to get a second round pick. I'm just curious how he's going to handle this situation and who may trade. If he's interested, if he thinks Joel Blomquist is going to be the man moving forward in goal, then you could trade one of these goaltenders as long as you put somebody else in with it, if a team is willing to do it. But it's not an easy assignment at all. And again, their play will dictate where they go. 412-928-9370. Austin, we did a lot of calls yesterday. Want to keep it rolling today. Who we got?
Let's go to Rocky in Blonox.
Rocky, what's up? Happy New Year.
Hey, Bob. Happy New Year to you, man. I'm a little bit sore this morning. How are you?
Why are you sore? Is that information we should all know about, or is that personal?
No, I slept in my shed last night. It's a Scandinavian New Year's tradition. You sleep in a boat, and I have my kayak in my shed, so I slept in my boat.
Scandinavian? Wait a minute. Jason Mackey showed me something yesterday that I'd never heard of, which was a beer shower. He showers with a beer. Now, I've never done that. Because when I shower, it's normally early in the day, and I don't want to drink beer or anything else early in the day. So you're talking about a Scandinavian tradition of sleeping in a shed on a kayak.
Yeah. No, so you say a beer shower. Is that like a golden shower?
No. It's like drinking out in a beer in a shower.
Oh. I've done that.
Yeah, well, if you slept in a pontoon in a shed on, I imagine you've done a lot of things.
Does it bring you good luck?
We will find out. It's not a pontoon. I'm not a savage, Bob. It's a kayak.
Oh, you're hurting. I imagine you are a savage, but go ahead.
A little stiff. These Penguin goalies, Bob, you've been around Pittsburgh sports for, I don't want to say how many years.
Yeah, you can.
I'll date you.
43. I'm proud of that. You know, 43 years of doing this.
Well, you started when you were two, right? If my math is mathing.
Well, the makeup's working, if you believe that. Good.
So the goalies are terrible. I mean, these aren't even pressure games. When they get into any kind of game that matters, towards the end of the season, they're going to fold. They're going to fold like my grandma's patio chairs. You know what I mean?
Well, some of those patio chairs can be tough to fold because they have, you know, they're brittle. They don't conform the way they used to. So that could be difficult. But I do agree. I mean, it comes down to goaltending. Every team in the NHL is about goaltending. If you don't have good goaltending, no matter what your effort is in front of you, you're going to give up goals that you shouldn't be giving up. And when that happens, it has a demoralizing effect on your team. Conversely, when you get a goalie who's on a heater and he's playing well, it invigorates you, and you know you can do more things because he's the last line of defense and he's doing well back there. So that's it. Number one issue with them is consistency in goal. I tend to agree there, Rocky.
You're absolutely right, and I do wish the best for the Penguins, but I think it's time, Bob. Let's blow this thing up. Let's get Sid, ship him off somewhere where he can raise another cup, and send Malkin back to Russia and. Well, kind of go from there.
Be careful what you wish for with all that. I mean, I think Sidney Crosby's still playing a pretty good level. Thanks, Rocky. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful 2025, and I'll look into the Scandinavian shed night or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, Sidney Crosby's going to be here as long as he wants to be here, and I still think he believes his team can do some things, and you're tied down with the rest of them. You really can't do much unless they agree to it all. I don't want to see that right now. I want to see them. The stated goal was to get into the postseason and see what you can do. I've seen strange things happen in best of sevens. Austin, it's the one sport where you could be an 8 seed, get hot, and win it all. We've seen it repeatedly, and you don't see that in sports very often.
No, I mean, you really don't. The NHL is really the main place you see it. I mean, maybe the 05 Steelers, but that was kind of a different case regarding how they got in. Hockey is just, I mean, we saw it, just a couple of years ago with Carolina, right?
Well, how about the St. Louis Blues when they were dead last in February in the conference? They make a coaching change, bring in Craig Berube, get a young goaltender who went hot, and they win a cup. And no one, the odds on that at that time probably were 1,000,000 to 1 that they would win a Stanley
Cup. Yeah, I remember the year that Washington, the Nationals, went all the way to the World Series after starting the year. At one point, they were like 9 games under 500 in the middle of May, at the beginning of June. So, I mean, it is possible to start the way that the Penguins started and be able to roll yourself into a prime position in the playoffs. But at the same time, I wonder if this roster construction, because the D pair is banged up now. I mean, Erik Karlsson at one night looks like a Hall of Famer. One night you wonder if he should be even in your final defense pairings. You know, so I still wonder about him. Get Letang back healthy. Figure out what you're going to do with Marcus Pettersson because, I mean, are you going to re-sign Pettersson at this point?
He could be a trade guy. If you can't, you have to investigate this if you're Kyle Dubas. If you can't do that, then you have to figure out a way to get – and somebody would want him. But the problem with that is he's one of your best defensive defensemen. And if you're in it to try to get into the playoffs and win some series, you need him around probably. So
has P.O. Joseph looked good enough in his return to you?
I haven't seen enough of him to make me think yes yet. Yeah. And I was scratching my head on that one as well. Unless it was just a body count, they needed somebody else, and he was available because he was falling out of favor in St. Louis. I don't know the reason behind that.
I wouldn't trade Drew O'Connor. I would want to keep him around and try to build off of him as much as possible. He's not a dependable, you know, forward on the top line or second line that you can – he can be your number one paired next to Crosby or Malkin. Still think he's a pretty decent piece you can keep around for maybe $3
million. Well, he needed – last night, he hadn't scored in 32 games.
No.
And he had two goals last night, both of them for the Penguins. And that was good for him because he works hard. He's an honest player. I think that's – you hear a lot of that in hockey. You're an honest player. I'd like to hear more of that in football. He's an honest player, meaning you don't stop working just because you're not getting the puck or the ball or whatever. More honest players. He's a good player for them, and I don't know if he's a top-line player, but he certainly is somebody I still would like on my team. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Austin and I are here until – what time are we here till?
We're here till 1:30.
1:30, and then we have a 30-minute pregame show. Pitt and Cal. How about that? In an ACC actual conference game. I think I heard Pat say the last time they met was in – Civic Arena back then when they were playing in the NCAA tournament. But Pitt is 10-2. We'll talk more about them as we go along. It's a team that can do some damage, I think. Mike DeCourcy was on with us yesterday, and he thinks they could be a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. I think they could actually do better with that, depending on health and depending on if they get an inside game going. Their guard play is really good, and we'll carry them through this.
So they start Atlantic Coast Conference play, Bob, the Atlantic Coast Conference against Cal and Stanford.
Well, you know, it's just, is that not the sign of the times?
I know. Then they have played Virginia Tech, so they are 1-0 in ACC play, but this is when it really ramps up. I'll give you a special treat. There's going to be a social video that's coming out with Ben Tenuta, me, and Starkey. We went down to Pitt basketball.
You know, I saw a little bit. Actually, I was not aware of it until yesterday. Mackie told me about it, and I went back and looked. And did I see correctly that he did a little fadeaway three, almost like a Dirk Nowitzki leg kick?
So it wasn't a three. It was, according to Joe.
It was a Dirk Nowitzki kind of, I'm going to extend my leg so you can't get near me to block a shot.
Fadeaway backwards. Joe has continually made fun of me for my defense, which I think is fair. Because also, Joe has had Achilles injuries. I don't want to play too tough of defense on Joe because I don't want him to be injured. I did at one point poke him in the eye, not intentionally. So I was closing out on a shot. He blamed me for poking him in the eye. I closed out. My hand touched his hand, and his hand touched his eye, and he claimed that I poked him in the eye intentionally.
He's fragile. He's older. You got to understand how this works.
So, Bob, I was down 8-2 in the game and rallied back to win 17-14.
Again, that's a fatigue factor that sets in when you get up there in age. You took advantage of that. Not only did you poke him in the eye, you ran around. He didn't have the energy to compete. And as a young person, you took advantage of him.
I tried to.
That's called elder abuse.
I tried. Well,
that.
No.
That's what that is.
I was letting him win for a large portion of it, but he just could not hold on.
412-928-9370. So that'll be coming out later. We have a lot to get into. Want to hear from you. We have open lines until 1:30 today. We also have Jay Caulfield coming up at 11 o'clock. He'll be talking about the Penguins and where they are and where they need to go and what they need to do to get to where they want to go. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. When we come back, we're going to have a six-pack, which is brought to you by Bet365. That's coming up. And already Austin's got the beer going. So are you going to take a beer shower like Matthew?
No,
I wouldn't do that. It sounds like, why would you do that?